grisly one.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
7 minutes after the hour on a big Thursday afternoon in the big city. Curtis is off. You got me, Noam Layden, who does the 5 a.m. show. So here I am 12 hours later. I'm going to be raking in the overtime today. Curtis Sliwa, of course, having a big major operation yesterday. There is nobody I love at the station more than Curtis Sliwa. I mean, well, except I guess for you guys on the other side of the glass, you, Brian, and Justin, I guess I like you two more. And well, then there's Sid and Bernie, so maybe he's fourth on the list or fifth. Anyway, I love Curtis Sliwa more than anybody.
This is breaking news.
What's going on?
77 WABC New York.
Well, we're just getting this. On the phone line is Curtis Sliwa's girlfriend, Nancy. And Nancy, thanks for coming on your boyfriend's afternoon show. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
What a surprise. Curtis went in because he's been in so much pain over the last year. I mean, the audience doesn't even know because he doesn't let everybody in on it. But what a hero Curtis is in terms of, I mean, on so many levels. But coming here to 77 WABC, he comes in every day, and he's been having these major stomach issues, I mean, other body parts as well, but the stomach issues over the last year. And he'll be on the air sick, and he makes it through the day. And then there's been days where, you know, just too much, and he couldn't make it through the day. And so finally, it was time to have this operation done. What was actually the diagnosis before he went in for this operation yesterday? What were they telling him?
He was initially diagnosed with colitis about 2 years ago, and then about 1 year ago, he was diagnosed with ileitis, and within the past 6 months, it was determined that he had Crohn's disease. So it's been a little bit of a sliding scale, but I know he talks about it on air a lot, but once they realized that he had the Crohn's disease, and, you know, because during this time, he's been trying a lot of different options to remedy it, things that are available. Nothing had been working. Surgery really became the only option available to him. So the doctors, they were doing testing for a bit of time, but there's only so much that they could see until they did open him up, which they did. Instead of it being something like a little bit of a narrowing or a blockage, it was actually that he had a very twisted and ulcerated portion of the ileum. So that was preventing anything from passing through. I mean, explains, yeah, why he was in such pain all the time, why he couldn't digest any food. And it was that, like, partway through the surgery when the surgeon realized the extent of it and had to make the decision whether to go forward or not and just try to take out the entire piece of the ulcerated ileum, or, you know, do what he had done, because, you know, now is going to bring him into several more hours, and they weren't sure if his body could take that many more hours of surgery. But they decided to go through with it because otherwise he would have to have another surgery. So they just,
and he didn't want that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Talking with Nancy. Nancy is Curtis's longtime girlfriend, one of the nicest people you want to meet, has stood by him during all of this, and it's really been amazing. And I had this moment with Nancy and Curtis. We were, without going into detail, we were at this fancy fundraiser where I was fortunate enough to hand Curtis this trophy for all the work that he's done with the Guardian Angels. And it was a nighttime affair. And I said, before we set it up, I said, you think you're going to be okay, Curtis, to do this, because I don't want you to be sick the night of the thing. It's a big deal. People pay big money, and a lot of people are going to be there. He said, I will be there. And when you guys walked in the door that night, this was just less than maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, I looked at you and I said, how's he doing? And you said, Not good. But you would have never known. You never would have known. Curtis got up there. He took the award. He made this great speech, by the way. And then he sat back down in what was really a wonderful evening. But little did I know that the audience had no idea what kind of pain he was in. So yesterday, before you go in to have this surgery, or do you have this last moment with Curtis, you know, because they have to put him under and it's going to be a long day. Do you have some last words? Does he have some last words with you before you go, before he goes under?
Well, I mean, everything was certainly very positive. I mean, he's a fighter, so I don't think that this was going to take him down regardless. But, I mean, definitely the extent of the surgery, the seriousness of it, you know, just in addition to the fact that for over 2 years, I mean, he's lost between 50 and 60 pounds, and he's unable to eat food on a regular basis. I mean, just the nutritional level of his body, it was tough.
Yeah.
Talking
with Nancy, who is Curtis's girlfriend, who was there yesterday when Curtis had this operation, that's why he's not here today, won't be here for a while. So they open him up to do the surgery, and as you started to tell you, and I rudely interrupted you, they started to do some work on him, and they thought it was going to be faster than it was. This was, what time did they start this operation, last night or yesterday?
4 p.m.
So 4 p.m. they started, but halfway through they realized that there's a lot more work that needs to be done, and they have to make a decision whether to continue on or whether to sew him back up and do this another time. But they thought he was strong enough to make it through the entire operation, right?
Yeah, correct. And also because the type of relief that would have been given to him had they stopped, you know, he still would have been facing similar issues. So it was just a thing that had to be done, you know, in one shot, in the doctor's opinion. And I mean, I think he made definitely the right decision to do so. But what he did say afterwards is he can't believe that he'd lived with this condition for 2 years.
Wow.
Because of the extent of it.
They couldn't believe what they saw once they had opened him up. So they had no idea.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so when they opened him up, and then did they come back to you and they say, hey, we're going to be in there longer? Or did you just find out about all this at the end?
Yeah, they were updating me throughout. You know, I knew there was going to be a 4-hour mark where initially that's where they thought the surgery would be concluding. And they said, no, we're about halfway into it. So, I mean, that was a bit of a surprise. But, I mean, again, just given the way that he's been feeling, I think that it was sort of expected that there was probably going to be more than anticipated.
Wow. So the operation started. What time did it start?
It started at 4 p.m.
And what time did he finally get out of the operating room?
12 midnight.
Come on. So he was in there for 8 hours.
8 hours, yep.
Wow. And when did you have the first conversation with him? When was that?
I would say it was probably about an hour and a half after that. It takes a while for him to, took about an hour for him to get out of, to come out of the anesthesia, and then they bring him into the ICU, and they set him up there. So I just went to see him. I mean, he wasn't really able to talk initially.
Sometimes that's a good thing with Curtis.
It's very surprising, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. So did he say? Did he sort of know what was going on when he finally did come to? He recognized who was sitting next to him, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, he had on, at the time, you know, the air mask, and, I mean, in addition to just tons of tubing, and, you know, the incision that they made was pretty tremendous, too. So I think it was just, he was coming to, he was realizing what was happening, but it just so in and out at that point.
And so you have this conversation now, okay, here, that's midnight last night, so it's not even 24 hours since he got out of surgery. At 5:15 on Thursday afternoon, are you having conversations with him, or is he still sort of in a drug-induced state?
Well, semi-drug-induced, although he can have conversations. They have him on fentanyl now, which is really turning out to be a pretty big lifesaver for him, because the pain is just so completely excruciating. And, you know, he's just so thankful that he has this option. I mean, he actually wanted me to mention that as well, that there are, you know, as much as there's bad press given about some of these drugs, for people who actually need them and when they're using them in the right way during the time that they need it, it's just so completely essential.
Right.
So
well, that's the problem.
He wouldn't be able to get through it without this.
Yeah, well, that's the problem is that unfortunately then it goes to the next step, but not with Curtis because he'll be able to wean himself off. So talking with Nancy, who is Curtis Sliwa's girlfriend, she was there as he had this really intense operation and on the operating table for 8 hours yesterday, recovering today, and that's why you got me, Noam, in for him today. Do they give, I mean, I know it's early, so you probably won't be able to answer this, but they give you any sense of how long he's going to be in the hospital now?
You know, it's still a little bit of a question mark. I mean, they're still doing some testing because, again, now that they have, you know, everything that's, he's starting to sort of come to more, they can start taking out some of the supplementing devices and then just see how the body's responding, if it's kicking in on its own. I mean, he seems to be, you know, so far responding, I mean, very well considering, I would say. You know, I mean, he's even got his business card going out. So, I mean, I think his mind is in the right place.
Okay. Well, do me a favor. Give him a kiss for me. You can even say it's coming from me. He might be revolted by that, but you can tell him, give him a big kiss for me and say that we really, in all honesty, all of us really care so much for him. We've been thinking about him, and I'm excited to hear that he's already communicating and putting his business card out because I've seen him do that before, so that's a good sign. And I salute you, Nancy, because you have stood by Curtis over this time when he's been so ill. You were there. I imagine you must be exhausted too. The fact that you were there till midnight. Did you stay in the hospital last night?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So I imagine you haven't slept much either. No.
I haven't slept at all.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, you should get some rest because we you got to be there to help out Curtis. And when he's all well and better, I'm sure he'll pay you back in some way. So, Nancy, thank you for the update and thank you for taking care of Curtis. And I hope to see both of you back here at WABC real soon.
Thank you so much, and I will definitely relay. And he's been very appreciative of all the, you know, the sort of the outpouring of very nice sentiments on social media. And so he just wanted to relay that as well.
Oh, good. And make sure when you do give him that kiss, that for me is a big, big, big wet one. A big wet
will
kiss.
Do. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Nancy, thanks so much. So there's the latest on Curtis.